Certainly a joy that we have the blessing and honor of assembling ourselves together upon the first day of the week. Good number in our audience this morning. We're thankful for everyone's presence, for our visitors. We're glad you're with us. Welcome you back every opportunity you have to come our way. Familiar expressions usually get to be familiar expressions because they're true. I want to borrow one of our familiar expressions for our lesson this morning. I'm still about 20 years behind technology-wise, but Brother Keith was kind enough to put the lesson on the chart for us this morning. The familiar expression, of course, is you can't take it with you. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 20. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? We can partially at least answer that question. We don't know exactly who those things would be, but we know they certainly would no longer be to the certain rich man who left this life, because he couldn't take it with him. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. The Apostle Paul wrote, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What did the Apostle Paul write revealed to him by the Lord Jesus Christ concerning this particular matter? Well, he wrote, you can't take it with you. And here's how he wrote it. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. Now, there are many things Scripture tells us are certain. And this is one of those things. Brother Bass, about 40 years ago, in a gospel lesson right here, told this little story, and it was the first time I'd ever heard that little story. He said two friends were standing in front of a casket of another friend of theirs who had been very rich in this world's goods and had just passed away. And one asked the other, I wonder how much he left. And the reply was, he left it all. He left it all because he could not take it with him. And when the inheritors of this certain rich man in Luke chapter 12, when they passed away, if they had anything left of that inheritance, they also left it all behind because they couldn't take it with them either. I want to go back to Job chapter 1 and read those, I'm going to say, two familiar last verses of Job chapter 1. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job's a good example for us even today. No matter what befalls us in this earthly life, let's never even be tempted to charge God foolishly. There's a lot of things in the book of Job that, due to our limited human reasoning power, is hard for us to understand. The only thought I wanted to take from it this morning is that Job knew that he brought nothing in of material blessings, worldly blessings. He brought nothing in and would carry nothing out. And he was not foolish enough to believe otherwise. Psalm chapter 49, verses 16 and 17. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory, and I looked that word up in Wilson's Old Testament word studies, and the word glory there, and also in the next verse, refers to material earthly blessings. When the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. And let's note before we leave that passage that even for one who lives a life pleasing and acceptable in God's sight and is prepared to leave, his material possessions will not ascend after him either. That's part one of this lesson. We're going to transition into part two of this lesson. And we're going to need to do one thing. We're going to have to do it mentally. Erase the apostrophe and erase the T. Part number two, you can take it with you. Four things we can take with us from this life into the life which is to come. The first one is the reward for good works. 1 Timothy 6, take me a moment to get there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19, almost there. Charge them that are rich in this world that they trust, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so every day we ought to be busy laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. The Lord's faithful, the rich in good works, can carry a glorious reward out of this life into the life to come. I want to go back this time again to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, and read the words of Jesus that are recorded for us there. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Though few be the treasures, safe and secure in heaven I've laid. There neither moth nor rust can destroy, So now I am happy. My soul sings for joy. If we have treasure laid up in heaven, we will not have to leave the reward for good works in this life. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses gave up the pleasures of sin for a season, and the treasures in Egypt for the eternal reward of pleasures and treasure in heaven. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Simply but truly stated, our works, good or evil, not only can but will follow us to the judgment. Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Second thought on our board this morning. Again, it's something we not only can take with us, but we will take with us from this life into the next life, is our words. Matthew, this time chapter 12, recorded there in verses 36 and 37, the words of the Lord himself. One more page. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now the word idle, there in verse 36, carries with it the definition out of the original word, ineffective or worthless. Now we know that the Lord here is speaking of a spiritual application, of things that are holy and divine. And that's not just a guess on my part. Let's read verse 32. The Lord said, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And so Jesus said, it seems clear to me at least, that words spoken against the Holy Spirit will be taken with us out of this world into the world to come. And then he said, they shall not be forgiven. It doesn't get any more serious than that. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. We should not, we must not ever speak things which we ought not to speak, for they just might be words that can never be forgiven. James 1, verse 19, wherefore, beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 3, verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Again, simply but truly stated, our words, blessing or cursing, good or evil, will follow us to the judgment. Third thing on our list this morning, memories. Memories of this life will not end with this life. They will be carried over with us into the life which is to come. And of course, we are turning to Luke chapter 16. And as soon as I get there, we're going to start with verse 23. Brother Allen, it's been at least a year ago, presented just an awesome lesson on this particular text. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Let's ask a question. Would Abraham have told this certain rich man to remember if the rich man had no ability or consciousness to remember? Now, my answer to that is no. After death, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham, who at this particular time had been dead over 2,000 years, had physically passed away over 2,000 years ago, but he still had an awareness of things on earth. And here's what he said about it. They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Your five brothers only hope to stay out of this place of torment is to obey God's word. No, Father Abraham, the word is not enough. They need a miracle. Folks are still saying that today. Of course, not verbally, but by actions. I need a personal invitation. I need a special revelation, not knowing that every accountable person already has a personal invitation from a special revelation. And that is simply this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Every accountable person already has a personal invitation and a special revelation through, in and through the gospel of Christ. And even before that, Jesus gave a personal invitation by special divine revelation when he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Last thought of our lesson this morning, and we've truly saved the best till last. When we depart this earth life, when we finish our sojourn here on earth, we can take the Lord with us. Psalm 23, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Number 460 in our old Sacred Selections hymn book. Brother Leon Brown once told me, it's been about 40 years ago as well, he said it was either his favorite or one of his favorite hymns. We can take the Lord with us. "When I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone." Hebrews 13, verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If we do our part, we will never have to part company with the Lord. He will be with us, and we can be with him in life, in death, in eternity. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, familiar verses to every one of us. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Heart be troubled. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go," and the word "if" there is actually "since." "And since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." As we begin to close the lesson, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the last three verses of that chapter. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." In the fullness of time,